This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter postgame show, and the Miami Dolphins podcast network is all here. Seth Levitt, OJ McDuffie from the Fish Tank. I am Travis Wingfield, the host of the Drive Time podcast. And guys, let's go ahead and count them down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's seven
in a row.
And that puts the Dolphins with two games to go, Juice, into the seventh position in the AFC.
Man, oh, man. Hey, it was a long day, Travis. It was a long day,
long
man.
Way, Juice,
you're chomping at the bit at like 9 this morning, Juice.
Early this morning, man. I was like, man, I hate these games, man, but I love them as a player, bro. But I'm going to tell you what, man. What a great job these guys do. Go out on the road, no matter what the situation is, the circumstances, and find a way to win. Like you said, 7 in a row, man. Who would have thought a team that was 1-0 and 1-7 would be 8-7 at this point? Well, you and I did, Travis. I don't know about Big Seth, but you and I thought it would be this way.
Wait a minute. I never said they couldn't do it. I just want to talk about it.
It's a one-game.
Guys, it's a one-game season, okay? I'm focused on Tennessee right now. I know we're going to talk about this, and there's a lot of good to talk about. But it's a one-game season, and that's how they got it done.
Yeah.
It's very easy to fall apart when you lose 7 in a row, Juice, but they didn't.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's one thing that you have to talk about, man. You have to tip your cap to Coach Flores and those guys in that locker room who never quit, man. They never quit. They never wavered. And you look at some of our losses. We had 3 times we got beat down, but the rest of them were some really, really tight games, overtime loss and things like that. But his team never quit. It never quit, man. And today, you know, like everybody's going to say, well, look who they played against.
Doesn't matter.
They're battling their butts off for playoff positions as well over there, man.
Is anybody saying, oh, well, Buffalo beat you twice, but, you know, Tua didn't play in one of those games? Nobody's looking back at the games they beat us. Oh, well, they were on a 7-game losing streak. Those wins don't count. It's a National Football League victory. That's all that matters. And it's 7 of them in a row. I don't care who they play.
With a bunch of guys that are getting paid to play football. And when the Dolphins go out in a game like that, what do they do besides 0-for-12 on third downs? The Saints gained 5 yards.
Say that again real quick.
0-for-12.
I've never seen anything like it.
And they gained 5 yards. And that was in the negative before Kamara hits a 19-yard run
right
on 3rd and 20. The Saints gained 164 yards of offense and the Dolphins sacked the quarterback 8 times in the game. That's how you come in.
Yeah,
and you. Whether or not you want to talk about quality of opponent, who's available for the Saints, I know COVID's been crazy throughout the course of the league all week long, and teams are battling through it. Miami battled through it last week, but you know what, Juice? Right. 7 wins is 7 wins in a row, and it's not going to say in the standings or the box score,
right,
opponents weren't very good. It says 8-7.
Well, it definitely does, man. You know what it does say as well? I don't care who we're playing against, man. That defense, you can't take anything away from that defense.
Nothing.
Like you talk about, the 8 sacks today, 164 total yards. You know, I mean, I don't care who's out there. The way that defense is playing, I put them up against anybody right now, man. And, you know, like you said, we talked about this a little bit last week. You know, defense in a situation like this, you go out there and you're able to run the ball a little bit, but your defense travels. Our defense traveled today. We got some guys back in the secondary. When we got Javon Holland back, you know, you saw Brandon Jones out there making plays and need him. Our corners are back. We are about as, knock on wood, as healthy as we've been this time of year, and that's super important.
Knock on some wood again.
Yeah, okay, knock on wood
Thank
again.
You.
You know, and that's important when you're trying to make a playoff push. Remember I said this a long time ago, Travis, they only remember what you do in December. Right now, December's looking pretty good for us right now.
And I think the stat would say 19 and 7.
Sure. Maybe? Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, man. I didn't get my stats today. Whatever it is, Brian Flores' teams win in December, and they win in November, and that's what's right. happening here. We'd like to get off to a little quicker start, but we can't go back and erase history. Right. You know, they lost 7 in a row. I hated it. It was miserable. We stared at each other just like this for 7 weeks, and, you know, I mean, golly, it was like, what are we going to do? I didn't know if Juice was going to make it through the season at one point.
I thought I was going to get fired. Yeah.
You were trying to get fired, thought you were going to get fired, thought you were going to get everybody else fired, thought you were... You didn't quit, Juice.
I did
and
not.
I appreciate that. I don't know who's going to take the credit for it. I'll give it to Coach Flores as well. Neither does this Miami Dolphins team. They're 8-7, guys.
Jason Jenkins, the reason. When he came in the building, I kind of calmed down.
You did. You did. You tightened up quick when the boss man walked in.
I was only tough for a second there, wasn't I?
That's a good, that's a good point.
I love the parallel
really
talking about
point.
The Dolphins didn't quit either. I mean, because you mentioned it. The show was, I mean, I still thought we did a great job patting ourselves in the back here, but it was difficult to come in here and not just to lose games, but those last two games that we were talking about, I guess the Buffalo game was in there as well, but the Jacksonville and the Atlanta game coming in here, and just it wasn't as much fun as it is right now. And the way this team is playing, it reminds me of who they were a season ago with the defense playing strong. The offense hit it when they had to, and I think that where we start here, Juice, talking about the offense, is what do you think of the overall approach in this game for the Dolphins, where you know I think everyone kind of had an expectation for how the Saints offense could perform in the circumstances. I think Miami did as well, and their offensive approach reflected that.
Yeah, I thought it was our philosophy as we always do. You know, a little RPO here, short passes there, trying to run it. You know, we didn't have the success we had last week running it, but at least we kept them honest with the run game, found a few guys in the passing game. You know, but more importantly, man, I think that they knew that it was going to be tough on the Saints to move the football, so don't go out there and make a big mistake. Yeah, we had the turnover on the interception from Tua. It's kind of like a punt the way it happened for us, you know. But at the same time, though, I mean –
a lot better than a pick six on the out.
Exactly, right. So just don't go out there and mess it up. And the offense didn't go out there and mess up. They played field position. You know, they took what the defense gave them. Remember now, and you said it a bunch, Big Seth, in the game, and Travis, you talked about it. This is the same defense that shut Tom Brady out. You know, this is the same defense that shut Tom Brady out. Yeah, they're missing a couple guys, but the guys up front that were all in Tom Brady's face.
There were some good
face,
football players on the there, field on the defensive
right,
side of the ball.
No
Absolutely.
Doubt.
And look, when you play, everyone's going to talk about, oh, they played their fourth string quarterback and whatever. And we'll see what Ian Book has over the next few years. We'll see what kind of a player he is or isn't. But when you play a guy like that who's making his first ever start, who never expected to be on the field, you know what you do? You hold him to 81 yards passing. You hold him to 0-12 on third downs. You don't give up points. That's what you do to him, and that's exactly what this team did. And sure, the offense didn't look the way a lot of people would like for it to look, and the defense is what won this football game. But that's the way they're built.
Yeah.
Who cares? Again, let's go back to the situation that we're in right now, guys. I don't know that I've ever watched – a weekend of football and saw everything fall the way you needed it to fall. We were texting each other like little kids yesterday. Oh my God, look what's going on. Oh my God, Buffalo's going to win. Oh my God, look at, and everything fell the way it needed to. And they came out here and got the W, and that's all that matters. Two more games left, one game season for me, but two more games left. If you got to win out, you can't win out until you win this one first. And they did.
I'm glad you mentioned the defensive players the Saints still had in this game, because Cameron Jordan, Marcus Davenport, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, those guys were all still out there. And Marshawn Lattimore was too. And we talked how many times about did we see – or how many times did we ask, you know, where's Devontae Parker been? Well, Marshawn Lattimore was covering him. That's where he was. That's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. And to your point, Seth, we got to break it down further here on a future segment coming up here. But Tua finishes the game 19 for 26. That's 73%. A buck 98, a touchdown, a pick, two sacks, a 91.5 pass rating. It's a defense that shut out Tom Brady last week. So I don't think it was as pretty as we would have hoped it was, but at the end of the day, the results speak for itself. Dolphins get the win. Those numbers are very quality when you consider a Super Bowl champion quarterback last week did about half of that in terms of the passer rating. So,
and the most important stat is a W.
It's all that matters. Seven straight. We'll talk about Tua's game more, what he ended up with in terms of the overall numbers. We're going to hear from Coach Flores and Tua as well. We'll also hand out some game balls. We're with you until the early morning hours here on the 560 post-game show. Again, the final score was Miami 20, New Orleans 3. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And guys, we talked about the offense there a little bit, but I do want to go back to the defense because I think that was the story of the game. I'm pretty clear. I don't think that really requires a whole lot of explanation. But again, the 0 for 12 on third down, that's three straight games for Miami with five sacks, five straight games with three sacks, if you can put that together in your head, 43 sacks over the last seven games. And I think the part that really impressed me most, Juice, was the way they finished out this game. There was a series in the middle of the fourth quarter where Sealer finishes up with a huge sack for an 11-yard loss. Ogbah then finishes him up with a huge hit. And then Eric Rowe comes in for a hit. You had Baker and Javon Holland combining for that sack and a big pop on the quarterback. They were finishing these guys off and kind of sending a message to the rest of the league that this defense is not just good statistically against, you know, these poor teams, whatever you want to say. They're gonna bring the physicality too.
Yeah, man, they shut down any potential threat like from the beginning. You know, every single time they had an opportunity, it looked like, to even get something going. I mean, you put the one stat out there, 0 for 12 on third down. That's getting it done. You know, I think one for one on maybe – oh, no, 1 for 3 or something on fourth down as well.
Yeah, so it 1 for 15 on third and fourth downs.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I'll take it.
How they did on defense. There was really no true threat out there. And they tried to put a little drive together at the end. The defense played their butts off, man. And that's where, you know, we talked about it over and over and over again. It's where our bread is buttered. They got some guys over there that get paid some big bucks to make big plays, and that's what they do. Just a mix of young, a mix of old, bringing in a bunch of different guys to make plays for his team, man. It was fun. You know, when you sit up there and you watch and see a team get eight sacks and it's spread out through around the whole defense, you know, everybody seemed like they got a little piece of a book today, and it was important.
Yeah, well, if you were listening to the – hopefully you were listening, because that was a rough – you know, that Monday night crew was definitely not Dolphin favored, no. That's for sure. But if you were listening to the game being called on WQAM, JT was ready to leave the booth.
I love that.
He said he was ready to go downstairs and try to get a few sacks himself.
Come out of retirement.
Yeah, he was – he would have come out of retirement for, I think, the fourth quarter for this game and then gone right back into the booth. But, yeah, they were licking their chops, pinning their ears back, whatever phrase you want to use. And it didn't matter if it was a defensive tackle, a linebacker, a defensive back. They were going after that young guy.
They kept having the team meeting at the quarterback, man. And that's what you always want to do, man. You want to have a team meeting at the quarterback.
Players
only. I'm going to tell you what. They always said, man, when you hit the quarterback, the whole team feels it. And he felt it more than anything.
Man, I hope they got a nice tub for that kid.
Yeah, more book. I saw, and they showed the beginning, his whole family there, man. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a tough way to get started, man, against a Dolphin defense like that, man. It's a tough way to start your career.
And good on the players, but also good in the coaching staff, because something that Seth came in a little bit fired up about was he wanted to get after that quarterback from the opening snap. And I thought they did that with pressure looks. They actually, Next Gen Stats posted a graphic, a graphic on the broadcast from Next Gen Stats that Miami blitzed him 70% of the passing plays in that first half, and that was the most by any team in a single half this entire season. Juice, I loved the way they changed the picture on him. Don't make it easy on him. Don't play some soft coverage that gives him the easy opportunities. There was a great play early in the game, 8-man coverage with eyes on the quarterback, and Jerome Baker closes it down. Or maybe it was Xavier Howard that got that sack. They throw the cat blitz with the cornerback, Byron Jones, off the edge. He never blitzes. That's a new look. Later on, you have Alvin Kamara kind of in a close condensed set close to the formation, and he has a possible option route there, and they bracket it and take him away. So I thought the game plan too was fantastic from the Dolphins coaching staff.
Yeah, when you look at it, who are you going to take away in this game? Kamara. You have to find a way, and he's more dangerous, I think, in the passing game than he is in the run game. So yeah, you get an opportunity, you got your guys X and Byron, you know, on some one-on-ones, but then you get a guy like Kamara, and you bracket him. We'll call INO, got somebody on the inside, somebody on the outside. Whatever you do, we've got it covered, and that's ideal. You know, you got a quarterback that's under a lot of pressure from the beginning of this game, then you got a, you know, running back that they're going to run the shorter routes with. You bracket that, then where does he go with the football? He gets sacked. That's what happened this game. So when you go with a defensive scheme like that, bringing some pressure, different looks, looks like guys are coming eight across. You know, some guys are bailing. Some guys are coming off the edge and vice versa. I mean, that's exactly what you do to a young quarterback. Smart quarterback. He went to Notre Dame, played some big games. But, hey, he ain't played against the Miami Dolphin defense.
Or any NFL defense, for that matter.
Well, he played against his own, I'm sure.
Yeah, but even he wasn't playing against the starters. He didn't get any reps against the ones.
Yeah.
So look, that was an eye-opening experience, I'm sure, for him. He'll grow from that. He'll never see anything like that again in his life. And you know, but that's – I go back to what I said earlier. That's what you're supposed to do against a young guy who isn't prepared to handle that kind of heat. That's what you got to do.
Would you guys be upset with me if I told you I was disappointed about the 56-yard completion to Little Jordan Humphrey? Because it would have barely been over 100 yards. With that play and the Kamara play, the 19-yard rush, they were under 100 yards without those two plays. I thought they both were a little bit could have gone either way. So for some reason, that annoys me because it was so dominant by Miami. And it certainly shows up in the stats, too. We talked about 8 sacks. Book finishes the game 12 for 20, 135, 2 picks, and 8 sacks. And that first pick, how pumped were you guys on, what was it, the third defensive play of the game? A tip pass by Andrew Van Ginkel, who I thought did a fantastic job of knowing.
Again.
Third and two, I'm trying to run this pass rush game, but I see the quarterback get to his drop. I'm going to go, and he's separating the hands, which means the ball's coming out. So he gets separation from his man, Juice, and gets his hands up in the air, gets the tip, and there's Nick Needham to take it in. Talk about how that kind of set a tone for the course of that game.
Well, even more importantly, Travis, the fact that the offense went out there and went, what, 3 and out?
Yep.
You know, and you know, we got the ball first, went out there with 3 and out, and I said, well, this is just as good as us getting the ball first and scoring. It was huge. You know, defense comes in there, and they get a score right away. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better defensive start, and it kind of set the tone for the whole rest of the game and how the defense is going to play, man. But heck of a play, as usual. Look, man, we can sit here and talk about our defense, like, all night because of, you know, so many guys were had such an instrumental part and an instrumental role in what we're doing. And just that start right there, Van Ginkel getting his hands up, not getting there on something quick, getting his hands up, and we run under for a pick six. Then all the sacks, when guys are gluing guys, you know, across the board, 8 in the box, it looks like, and guys come from different angles, you know, and guys getting there. So I thought that start right there is the way you set the tone right away, especially when you're going into, you know, in the New Orleans, where it's so loud in there. It was loud for a while, but then it was loud because I heard a lot of Dolphin chatter. You know what I mean? I heard the Duke chants. Mm-hmm. You know, we quiet a crowd that's usually incredibly loud, especially on Monday Night Football, and that's how you do it. You started by getting it done early with your defense. That'll quiet people down really fast.
Yeah, I thought you mentioned Needham driving on that pass. I thought he was in position to make a play regardless of the tip, and that was just kind of the whole focus of the night, Seth, and that's kind of been a focus of the whole season, getting your hand on the football. But, man, up front, these guys are deep. They come in waves. They put pressure on you.
Absolutely.
Against the running game, how pumped are you to watch that when I know you have a bit of affinity for defensive line play?
Yeah, well, certainly around the edge. But no, I mean, look, just put pressure on the quarterback. I've been talking to you about this since the offseason, where I don't even remember who the guest was, but he wanted to start changing the way that we play defense. This was a physical, dominant defense last year that forced turnovers. One of the top teams in the league forcing turnovers. Do what you do best. You know, how many times have we heard this year we're going to take what the defense gives us? How about you do what you do best and you dictate to the other team? And so defensively, I don't give them anything, you know, especially when you have these rookies that show up and start bringing heat like that, especially when you have two safeties that can bring heat like that, especially when you have corners that can cover. Get after the quarterback. This entire game is built around the ability of the quarterback to make plays, move an offense, lead a team. And if you can disrupt the quarterback, you disrupt the entire game plan of that team on both sides of the ball. And that's what they did today. And you have to do that when you're playing the fourth string quarterback. And, you know, regardless of how many games he won at Notre Dame, regardless of how bright his future may or may not be, you have to get after the quarterback.
And that's exactly what they did. I'm glad you mentioned the safeties, talking about the D-line there. It's all three levels this pass rush comes from. Brandon Jones gets his 5th sack of the season. That's most in the NFL among all defensive backs. Javon Holland gets a half sack as well. We'll check on pressures and the Drive Time podcast. We'll have those numbers for you on the recap podcast. I want to come back and talk more about the offense, the mistakes, and all. Tua Tagovailoa bounces back again. But first, get your new Volvo with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volvo Cars, Coconut Creek, or online at GuntherVolvoCars.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from New Orleans, 20-3. The Dolphins win their 7th straight. You're listening to the 5th Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Give your game day menu the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker cheesy chicken, enchilada bean dip, air fryer beef taquitos, or carnitas mini taco bowls. Visit OldElPaso.com for these recipes and more game day favorites. Old El Paso, taco together. And you want to talk about tacoing together, talk about the way this Dolphins team plays a complementary style of football. We kind of touched on this in the first segment, Juice, but I want to come back to it because we only got to it very briefly there. But the way this Dolphins team approached this game tonight, and I guess throughout the course of this winning streak, we've kind of seen this, especially in the second half of games, has kind of taken the air out of the football. And they've been efficient with it. They've been effective with it. But in the first half of this game, I think maybe the Twitter universe, some of the fans out there wanting to see kind of this high-flying show. Maybe you want to see Tua Tagovailoa have a 400-yard day on Monday night in his debut. But we just were never going to get that. I'm curious to get your
take. What made you think that was going to happen, right? If you watched them play Tom Brady, what made you think Tua was going to do that?
Right.
Hope, I guess.
I mean, that's just not what he does.
Certain narratives. But, I mean, that's been the approach in the second half of some of these games. But tonight, from the jump, the Dolphins came out, and they were clearly going to play a game where there was a mistake-free type of game. But, Juice, they didn't get that early with penalties and sacks and some missed throws. Tua throws a bad pick. And as a result, it was a close game up until really the midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, there are some things that they really, really, really should be better at this point in the season. And that's a fact. You know, our RPO game should be a lot better than what it's been. I thought, you know, at times during our win streak, we've been very efficient, doing very well. Now, today we did see some mistakes by the offense and quite a few of them that could have hurt us in a tighter ball game. The holding penalties for one. I mean, those are going to be killers in tighter games, obviously. Cutting down drives or even took away a first down that Waddle had and one hold that we had, you know. And also the interceptions you talked about. And on top of that, I mean, Tua was not his sharp self today. We've seen that a couple times in a row now, it seems like, you know, but he does seem to find a way to bounce back. He's got that short-term memory that we talk about that DBs need to have. You know, he throws the pick, then he comes back and takes it down on a drive, man. And that's what you have to have. And he's got that type of confidence, which I love. Made a couple big throws. We had some nice, you know, some plays in there. But offense, honestly, they just didn't make the big, big mistake. They didn't do anything spectacular or flashy. I mean, the pick was could have been worse. But for the most part, they were in a game that they knew their defense was dominating, and they were smart with the football. Offensively calling the plays and also how we handle it as a unit, as a quarterback.
That 40-yard bomb was a dime. I mean,
that was a beautiful throw.
And for Mac,
and a hell of a catch.
Yeah, that release he had to get inside instantly, to get his ability to stack the defensive back. Because, you know,
Mac, who, by the way, was hanging all over him. Where was the flash?
Hey, we're not going to get that call.
My God.
We all did. But the ball gets hung right in there. And that's from 3rd and 9 on your own 15-yard line in a 10-3 game. If you miss that throw, you're punting. The Saints probably have field position around the plus 40 or even better than that, and all of a sudden now the drive gets cranking. You put 7 points on the board, 17-3, and at that moment it kind of feels like the game is out of reach because of the way the flow of the game was going for the Dolphins defense. So I thought that was really the biggest moment of the game, and coming off the pick where they showed it on ESPN, he had Waddle on the intermediate crosser, Hollins was the deep one, split in the two safeties. He just took the wrong throw, and then to make things worse, he overthrew it. So
that
was kind of back to the old one throw a game we don't like. That was kind of it, wasn't it?
So it was. I don't think it was just that one throw, though. I think what was tough for me, and look, I'm not here to bash Tua. I think ultimately we're better with Tua in the game than when we're not. You know, we've seen that here over the last however many 6-7 games. But there were some decisions. There were fumbles there. When the pocket got messy, Juice, you know, Tua did some good things to get away from pressure, but I feel like there's that moment where he needs to, I don't want to say quit on the play, but he needs to tuck the ball and protect the football. There's nothing more important than protecting the football, especially when you get in scoring position. And both times, you know, when those fumbles occurred, he was trying to make that last second throw with guys hanging all over him, his arms getting chopped, the ball's coming loose. And I just think you can't be that careless with the football.
Yeah, and that's the thing right there, Seth, that would kill us in a tighter ball game.
Right.
You know, don't make that mistake when your defense is playing so well. And, boy, how about my boy Waddle, you know, who we'll talk about later, obviously, because I'm always talking about the wide receivers. His hustle play on the one sack and forced fumble, you know, being able to get in there and mix it up in there allowed us to get the fumble recovery. I think Eichenberg might have, I'm not sure. But one of our offensive linemen picked that up.
Yeah, he poked him from the defender. Really.
Yeah, that was huge right there. And so you're right, man. Protect the football at all costs. To it. I mean, that's the quarterback's job in those situations, to not allow the team on the other side that is struggling to move the football to get in the game from the defense side of the football, and that's what almost happened.
He's got to move the ball, and he's got to be a caretaker of the ball. And so those are the things that – look, that overthrow, was a bad throw. It's atypical of him, especially that he went away from Waddle when he was open, because that's certainly not the norm. But I think when things get messy in there, and there were a couple moments where he did some really good things, but I don't know what it is, Juice. We talked about getting a little antsy in the pocket when the pressure's coming. We know there's probably more pressure than any of us would like to see on him this year, although I do think the offensive line has certainly played better over the last six or 7 weeks than what they did earlier in the year. And just I think tuck it, man, and just come back for the next play, or let your kicker go in there and get three on the board and line up again and let that defense start eating again. But don't give up the ball, because it's not only just giving up the ball, but I think and it never happened, but there's that opportunity for a momentum switch.
Right.
And you never want to give a team that's reeling that opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, also you think about it, we're an offense that goes on long extended drives.
Oh boy.
You know what I mean? We're trying to do 8 to 12 play drives, and you can't make mistakes in those situations. You really can't. And that's the longer the drive goes, you know, you're going to make the better chance of making a mistake. Yeah. So Tua really is smart with the football for the most part. But he does, like you said, Travis. It's like once a game we get one of those errant throws, one of those bad ideas, you know, that could really hurt you in a tight ball game.
Yeah, and you know, he had cut that down for a couple of weeks there, but it's come back the last couple of games, and it hasn't cost him, so that's the fortunate part. And the way he bounces back, too, I think we talked about it already, but it's worth being said that he does bounce back pretty much as well as anybody doing it right now. But you talk about that game plan, and just the first half, like 3rd and 4, you sack on that first field goal drive that kind of knocks him back. 3rd and 2, holding call negates a first down at the first drive of the second quarter. Then that final drive, you get a 2nd and 1 holding call, a 1st and 5 holding call, and then the same drive, a 3rd and 2 sack for -9 yards that puts you in a 59-yard field goal, 7 penalties for 65 yards on the night. So that was the part that kind of just irked me, that I thought the Dolphins could have put this game away earlier than they did. I mean, it's a win, so who cares? But if you want to get really kind of into the nitty-gritty of it, I thought that was annoying. But also, to kind of pivot back to the positive, Seth, you mentioned Jalen Waddle, and I can't believe we're in a segment 3 and we haven't talked about his entire game yet, but this guy, like, I keep seeing the discourse about the Dolphins traded up to get him. What they did was they added a first-round pick and got this kid who was the entire focal point of the offense. I mean, that touchdown reception that he gets, the little pop pass, end-around, flip, reverse, whatever that was, I don't think you could run that play with anybody else. He also tied Jerry Rice for most catches by a rookie in a Monday Night Football game with 10. That's
tied who?
Yeah, right. Jerry Rice.
Right.
He set the Dolphins
arguably the greatest football player in the history of the sport.
Receiving yardage record for a rookie. Set that. He's now very close. Well, how many?
He's
catches?
Second all time in receptions for a rookie in the history of the sport.
Next week. So
and maybe in the first quarter.
And we talked a little bit about the Saints and kind of taking away Alvin Kamara. I guarantee you everybody wants to take away Jalen Waddle, but Juice, I don't know if you can do it. Can you take him out of a game? Because it hasn't happened this year. He has not had one of these games where he's completely out of the game plan.
It is. You know why it's so hard? They're lining up everywhere. Today he was in the backfield. He was in the slot. He was out wide. He was, you know, in the bunch formation. So and then he goes in motion. So how do you find a way to take him out?
And if they do, it's just going to leave Durham Smythe open to eat all day, right?
That's right. Your boy Durham chomping at the bit, you know what I mean? Because they see all those situations. And, you know, when they locked down Parker today, who had, you know,
that was pretty wild to watch.
Yeah.
But then you have to deal with everybody else, including my man Mac Hollins, including, you know, Gesicki and those guys, and Smythe, who had a decent game as well. But then Waddle is all over the place. We talked about how you do I&O, you know, against Kamara. You know, when you got him lined up in one spot, it's easy to do that. But when you got a guy moving all over the place, How do you go in, you know, inside outside coverage on him? Who's got the assignment? Who's gonna mess up the assignment? Who's gonna blow the assignment? And that's why you move him around like that. You know, see who's got me, the two sets of eyes that are gonna have me, and then can you still stop me? When he's got the one on ones, he's impossible to stop.
And so, just talk about that for a second, because one of my favorite things in watching the games with you, and at home games I don't get to do that because we know you're in the stands and I'm in the press box. But when we sit and watch these road games, I love hearing you appreciate Waddle's work. And it, like, we give you a hard time here because we know you're wide receiver driven. We know Waddle's always going to get some love, but you're like, ooh, like every, you love the routes. You see the nuance.
I tweeted about it. I said, Juice has said it about 4 times tonight. Waddle, woo.
Yeah, the nuance. What are you seeing that gets you that excited? Just the nuance of the game. We see the obvious, but what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, not only, you know, you see a lot of quickness in short space, and that's what he really brings to the table right there, man.
Phone booth quicks?
Yeah, oh my God. He's he's got. For one, you know, he's so good at threatening what the DB is trying to take away. So he's so quick with that. So if you got a guy that's playing him hard inside, he's not just going to outside release. He's going to force that inside a little bit, and then he'll get up the field. Then he's going to give him some at the top of a route. The one route he ran, where he ran the out route, he gave the DB so much business at the line of scrimmage. He bumped him all the way down. Then he got on top of him. Then he broke out, gave him a little bit at the top of his stem, and then broke outside wide open, and Tua put it on him, man. So his ability to take away what they're trying to take away, or threaten what they're trying to take away, get vertical, and then come out with his breaks like so fast, it makes him virtually impossible to stop. So you have to go inside out on him. So the guy, if he had help on the outside, we have to go somewhere else with football. But they were bold, and they played one-on-one, and Waddle chewed him up.
I love that. That's great analysis there. And also, when the offense is better built to accommodate his vertical game, man, watch out. Yeah. He finishes this game 10 for 92 in a touchdown, and his 25 fantasy points made me a loser in my semifinal
and
game.
And I love when
points.
You lose
And I couldn't
to our
be happier
Dolphins.
About it, Seth. I was going to get
I
there.
I love it.
I was going to get there. There it is. So we have Brian Flores' press conference, Tua Tagovailoa coming up. Game balls in hour number two. Get your new Volvo with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volvo Cars, Delray Beach, or online at GuntherVolvo.com. For car buying done your way, you gotta get to Gunther. Again, the final score from New Orleans, Dolphins 20, Saints 3. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. The Dolphins are back in action, and this season you can be back in the stands to experience it all live. Get verified tickets from Ticketmaster, the official marketplace of the NFL, and you will not miss a single epic moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered, because selling your seats securely with Ticketmaster is as easy as a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Dolphins are winners of 7 consecutive games, as we do every single postgame show here. Let's go ahead and throw it to Brian Flores in his postgame media.
Hey Brian, I know the season isn't over, and you guys still have, you know, at least 2 more games to play in the regular season, but to start 1-7 and to win 7 games and put yourself in a position where you just need to win and be in the playoffs, I guess, what do you want the overarching message to be for anyone that looks at your team and the turnaround that you've had this season?
I think, you know, this team stuck together really the entire year. And I think, you know, obviously we dealt with a lot of adversity early in the year. And I think, you know, it revealed a lot of, you know, I would say revealed the character of the guys in our locker room. Revealed, you know, that, you know, some people were with you and some people were on the fence. I think our guys just kept fighting. They kept sticking together. And, you know, I think that's, they support each other. They work hard, they give great effort. And when you do those things, you know, you put yourself in position to get the results you're looking for.
David?
Coach, can you talk about your defensive approach against Ian Book making his NFL debut and Nick Needham's early pick six setting the tone in that regard?
Yeah, you know, credit to Josh and the defensive staff, but we have a nice game plan. You know, mixing coverages, mixing the fronts. Thought did a good job stopping a run, which was a big emphasis. Thought the guys just played. They played hard. They played fast. They gave great effort. We knew it was going to be a 16-minute game. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. It was a physical Saints team. You know, Sean had them ready. Had made some adjustments in the game that, you know, then we had to make some adjustments. So. I thought they had a good plan. You know, we just made a few more plays than they did.
Joe?
Flo, it was referenced a little bit earlier, but just to be more specific about it, the Dolphins are currently in playoff position with 2 games to play. What are your thoughts on the idea that the team does not have to rely on anybody else, just focus on the games ahead? For the Dolphins,
I think the games, you know, this week, you know, we'll enjoy tonight, but the game ahead is you know, going to be as tough as any game we're going to play. I've already taken a look at Tennessee. Obviously, I know Mike. I have a lot of respect for him. I know, you know, he'll have his guys ready. So, you know, we'll enjoy tonight. You know, I think they our guys played it's a hard fought 60-minute game. You know, so we'll enjoy this one, and then we'll turn the page and get started on the next opponent.
Omar?
In terms of what this team has been able to accomplish going, winning seven straight games, how difficult is that to, I know every game is a one game playoff situation and you have a linear focus on the season, but to win seven straight games is kind of an accomplishment.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really just one in a row, and that's really all we're trying to do. And that's kind of the approach. And I think our guys, you know, kind of taken to that approach, and you know, the preparation, you know, how important the preparation is. I don't know who that is talking, but you know, the preparation that's needed to you know, get results in this league. There's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of work, a lot of working together. I think our, you know, George, Eric, Danny, Josh, you know, our coaching staff, he's done a nice job of putting together game plans and giving our guys a chance to have some success. You know, now the focus is to try to do it one more time.
Adam?
Hey, Flo, I wanted to get a little clarity in the answer you gave earlier. You said that, you know, it revealed a lot about your locker room, revealed that some people were with you and some people were on the fence. Was that talking about people outside of the building or inside of the building?
Look, there's distractions always. And when, you know, when things are going, aren't going, you know, your way, I think, you know, it just reveals a lot about a lot of things, I would say. Look, I've always had belief in this team, our players, our coaches. You know, we maybe there were some people who didn't share that same belief, and I understand, you know, why. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, anyone else. It's about the guys in that locker room and the guys in our building and the people in our building. And we believe in each other. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Really looking forward to breaking that down. But real quick here, let's pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
So there's Brian Flores after the Dolphins' seventh straight victory. And Seth, bless their hearts, those beat guys are going to keep trying, but he is not going to talk about the winning streak, the playoffs, or any of that.
Well, no. You know what, though? He was pretty reflective. Let me say this, though. First things first, now that we're back in a Zoom environment, mute your damn mic when you're talking to Brian Flores, because he's going to call you out. Ooh-wee. He's going to call. I don't know who that is. Mute your mics. But listen, I thought it was a great first question, and typically – Coach Flores does not like to take a step back and reflect upon all that is and give you that above the trees look down on his season, his team. But he did a little bit, and he talked about the team sticking together. And what I really loved hearing is that he said it revealed a lot. Okay. Yes. And what I would love is if somehow we could sit and be in the inner circle juice and find out what he's referring to. But when Coach Flores said it revealed a lot, JT used to always say, hey, everyone says that adversity builds character. He says, no, it reveals character. And I think that's what Coach Flores is talking about here. And when I drove in to, and I don't know if you guys did, I was listening to K-Raj and Channing, and they were talking to Joe Rose and JT in the pregame show, and they were reflecting upon that dreaded 2007 season, had some fun telling some ridiculous Cam Cameron stories, but they talked about how Cam lost that team in preseason.
Yeah.
Okay. And so by the time they were 0-5, 0-6, they had no chance. This was a 1-7 football team, guys. The entire universe was calling for people to be traded, people to be fired on the coaching staff, on the, you know, in the front office, all of those things. And they've just won 7 in a row. So when the head ball coach, who, by the way, doesn't like to give you a whole lot of what's going on in the inner sanctum, tells you that moments like these reveal a lot, that tells me that he knows who he's got in that locker room. He knows who he's got on his coaching staff. He knows who he's got, you know, on that administrative staff. And that, to me, the rest of it, yeah, okay, great. Here's what happened to the game, and that's fine, and this guy played hard, and that guy. But that tells me that Brian Flores knows who's around him, who he wants around him, and if you see anybody depart at the end of this season, you know that'll give you a hint as to what was revealed during that seven-game losing streak.
Yeah, like he said, I love the fact that he said it's all about the people in the building. You know, the people in the building was one of the things that he talked about. He said,
"It's no accident. That's how you build a team, right? Like that's the idea."
Sorry, he said, "Some people." No, you're okay, bro. He said, "Some people were with us. Some people were on the fence. On the fence."
God, that was good stuff.
Yeah, that was good stuff, man. You know what I mean? Oh, and the guys that you can tell the guys that are all in, man, because those guys you see out there on the field probably more than anybody as well.
Yeah, and I got to tell you what, if I want to be employed by the Miami Dolphins, I don't want Brian Flores thinking I'm on the fence.
No, man.
I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it. You're all in or all out.
That's
Coach
not Florida, the dude I want wondering if I'm on the fence or I'm on his side of the fence.
You know, and I like the fact that, you know, they talk about a win streak. You know, he's all about what we talk about all the time. You said they try to set him up, try to get him going. They're not going to get him. A winning streak of one, pretty much, is what we're talking about.
Oh, all so
that's
good.
That's it. He said winning one in a row is all we can do. You know what I mean? And that's all they can do. You know, now they've won this one. They're going to enjoy it tonight, like he said. He said he's already started looking at Tennessee. He knows Mike very well.
Loved it.
You know, and so now it's on to Tennessee for, like, the players are going to enjoy this flight back. Trust me, they are. You know, but Coach Flo's probably going to watch him. He's going to be watching film on the plane, on the flight back.
There's no doubt.
Guys gonna be watching
he's
film
behind,
on the flight
right?
back.
He's behind 24 hours.
Yeah, so it's like, we've got to get a jump because, we've already lost today.
But he
so
does know
already,
Mike.
He's already
in
been
in case you're wondering, he does know Mike.
He's already looked at Tennessee film, you know. Of course they have, you know. So they might have done that today. Who knows, man. But, yeah, I'm excited, man. And we're starting to get more and more out of Flo, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, seven games in a row. You know, he could have been – I mean, he could be mad at the world, too, because of the way things were going when they lost those seven straight. But he stayed the course.
He's so
he stayed
consistent.
Focused. Everything's been the same. And, you know, he might go out there and say they're this close, you know, alignment, assignment, execute, whatever it might have been, you know. But people weren't really believing that they were that close. But they really honestly were that close.
And he was unwavering. He said, our preparation is good. He says, I'm evaluating and I'm looking at everything. I'm starting with me, but I believe our preparation is good. And we're like, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. But they stuck with it.
Yep.
They haven't changed the game plan.
And the players repeat it, and it's shown up on the field. Real quick, Seth, you made a point about the Cam Cameron season. One of my favorite moments from that entire season was the first game. Remember when Ronnie Brown was put on the bench behind Jesse Chapman?
Oh, come on, man.
And he got dinged up in a game, and someone on a Dolphins message board wrote, well, at least we have a good backup at running back. I always thought that was really funny.
It's pretty good.
I never understood that decision to sit Ronnie Brown the first two games.
He's trying to teach Ronnie Brown.
Send a message. I remember that.
Coming up, Tua Tagovailoa will talk game balls. And we're also going to talk about the outside noise / the playoffs, all of that, and possibility of rap
Don't
poison.
Be on the fence.
We're going to talk about that. Get your new Volvo with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volvo Cars, Coconut Creek, or at GuntherVolvoCars.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from New Orleans, the 20-3, the Dolphins take their seventh straight. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Sopresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at the seminal Hard Rock Hollywood. And guys, I wanted to ask you about something we touched on there with the Brian Flores media, and it's the perspective of this outside news. We talked about how we were all being kind of giddy together on Sunday, talking about the scores, and you know, I was thinking about how we watched those games and how the players were in New Orleans on Sunday, you know, getting ready for this game. And they had to have had the TV on in the hotel, right? Juice, I want to ask you what it's like to sit there and kind of take in all the stuff as a player, the stuff that, what does Nick Saban call it, rat poison? How do you contend with rat poison on a Sunday when everything went your way across the league?
Boy, it's hard, man. It's hard. It really is hard, man. You know, for one, you know, I always love Monday night games, but I hate waiting to play Monday night games.
I bet.
You know what I mean? But it is the game where the whole world's watching. Every team is home. Sunday night games were fun, too, but, you know, half the teams are traveling, so they don't get a chance to watch. You know, everybody's families at home and friends are watching on Monday night, man. But I'm going to tell you sit there and you watch everything kind of fall into place yesterday. And what it does, it gets you pumped up even more, man. You know you got to go out there as a Dolphin player. You know you got to go out there and win every single game, starting with the game tonight, right? But then you see everything starting to, you know, to work out for you. See the teams that you need to win or lose are doing just that. Man, you get excited. Think about this, man. We had a chance last year kind of to get into the playoffs that last in week 17. We went to Buffalo and had obviously a terrible showing. You know, this year now, I mean, we're in the same kind of situation, but when you get things that happen for you the way they are, you know, you're excited about it. So take, for example, like, look at the guys and how they came out there playing, especially on the defensive side of the football. I mean, you gotta be – I can only imagine how they couldn't sleep last night. Me, I can never sleep, but when I know we got an opportunity to go out there and raise some hay, you know, make some noise, boy, it'd be really, really tough for me to go out there. So, I mean, these guys – they went out there. They were focused. We didn't make a lot of mistakes. Offensively, we talked about a little bit, didn't play the best game. But that defense knew they were ready to knock somebody out. And you got an opportunity to go out there with a young sacrificial lamb out there in terms of, you know, young Ian Book out
That's
there.
A good way to
You know
it.
What I mean? Sitting out there and, you know, chained up to the pole. They really went after him, man. But they took advantage of the situation, man. And I was so – Seth and I were just early this morning. We're talking about different stuff, but we're talking about the game a little bit too. And for me, Travis, I'd be so nervous all day. Like, I was nervous. I had no chance of affecting the outcome of the game today.
Don't say that, Juice.
I had zero chance of affecting the outcome of the game today.
Rooting
but I was so nervous Absolutely. Today, man. I couldn't even eat, man. I was doing all kinds of stuff around the house that I wouldn't usually do.
Oh, I
can't imagine what the players
I wasn't
were.
That nervous.
I went for a long walk just to get out of the house today.
Yeah, for sure. So, Juice, the thing that I think is pretty cool, and I don't know if anybody else cares about this, but typically you're playing on Sunday on a road game. You travel. You get to the hotel. On Saturday, 99% of the guys get to put on a game. Juice never did because Randall Hill
won. That's what I was going to go there.
Randall Hill didn't want to watch any football. But, you know, everybody else is watching their alma mater, whatever the big game is. How often do you get to travel to a city? I mean, I guess one team does a week. But where you get to travel to a city and you get to watch your peers. You get right. to watch your friends in the league. You get to watch the teams that could impact your chances. Now, I don't know what game. What yeah. game do you guys think they would have had in New Orleans? They probably didn't get Buffalo, New England, or maybe they did.
I think it was a national game.
So I don't know what game they got to watch there. Probably that one. But all those guys, to your point, Juice, they watch that game. They understand the impact of that outcome, so they had to feel good about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there are a few teams that get four or five primetime games a year, and you've got Tom Brady on your team or things like that. Well, they'll have a Sunday night.
There aren't any other things like that.
And four and four Monday night games, and, you know, and you get a chance to watch games all the time, man. It's really nice for our young guys to get a chance to go out there and play some primetime football. Yeah, we played a Thursday night game against Baltimore, and that was great for them as well. But to get the Monday night game, man, the Monday night game is what you grew up as a kid. When I was a kid, Monday night game came on at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, and that was tough to stay up for me. I fell asleep on every single one of those, man. You know, when the game's gonna end at midnight or 12:30-ish, you know, that's and I got school the next day, wasn't gonna work out very well. But for young guys to be able to go out there and you go out there and you play, like take for example, you know, Kamara, who's one of the best running backs in the game. Maybe, you know, possibly he's top for the history of the game, the way he plays the game, you know. Then you got a guy like Javon Holland, you know, or Brandon Jones that are young guys that get a chance to go out there and play against them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fun stuff for those guys, man. When you get an opportunity to make a big impact in a game that's so big for your team, you know, that's fun stuff. So it's a tough. Back to the original question, playing at night on Monday night, it's a lot of fun, man. But that's, and then you know, watching the games on Saturday and Sunday. I think they left yesterday, right? And so they got a chance to watch, you know, a little bit of football on Saturday, a little bit of football on Sunday. And now they get a chance to go out there and perform in front of the whole world. And they did a great job.
Seth, you've always told us Harvey Green stories about sending certain stats into the sideline. Hey, Jimmy, in case you want to know about so-and-so's franchise record, whatever play it might be, in regards to when you're talking about, you know, the messaging and the team approach and how a coach wants to put things out there, are you watching those games with that same mentality? Is coach aware of what's going on around them and the possibility of winning this game means we control our own destiny and put ourselves in that position in the seventh seed in the AFC playoffs.
Right. Well, in a Monday night game, it's kind of a non-factor because he's got everything accessible to him. But if it's a Sunday game and you're, you know, playing to get in or what have you, there's always somebody, you know, not an equipment guy, but somebody who, those guys who volunteer and come work game days and game day staff, there's somebody inside the locker room that's watching TV. Clearly you're watching everything in the press box. But the coach is going to be as aware as the coach wants to be. So if the coach wants that information, there's typically somebody that's the coach's guy or gal that gets that information. And if that's somebody on the sidelines, then the PR person knows who that person is, and they're calling that information down. Hey, you know, so for in the Jimmy Johnson years, it was the head trainer, right? So that was his guy, and he would call down to him, you know, we would call down and give him that update, and he would determine when the right time is to let Jimmy know that information. And I think it carried over to Dave too, probably the same guy. Or sometimes Stu Weinstein. Sometimes Stu would be the guy. Stu was there and it was security, but you'd get something in his ear. Sometimes it would be, hey, so-and-so only needs three more yards. You know, yes, the game is won, but so-and-so only needs three more yards for a 100-yard game. Or so-and-so, you know, hasn't had a catch yet all game, and they've got a 120-something game winning streak. Sometimes they don't care. Keith Byers got a little upset, Juice.
Oh, boy, was he mad.
Keith Byers had a reception streak in however many 100-something games, whatever it is, and he didn't get his catch.
Oh, he's not happy at all.
And it was called down. I can promise you, hey, Keith doesn't have a catch. He's got a streak.
I can promise
Jimmy you. Didn't care.
Jimmy didn't we won't even go there. Didn't care for Keith much.
Jimmy didn't care for Keith. Keith didn't care for Jimmy. Jimmy. Yeah. I think that probably is still the case, however many years later.
Correct.
But to answer your question, the coach is going to be aware as he wants to be. And that means if he wants that information, now – they're not going to call down to the coach. He's got too many other things to focus on. But there's somebody down there who has the authority to have that access to get in that coach's ear, and everybody needs to know who that person is because that person is funneling the information. Right. I don't know who it is with this organization, but that's okay. We don't need to know everything. I don't need to know who's calling plays. I don't need to know who's throwing the flag, you know, who's saying call the replay, which we need to talk about the replay at some point today because there was a replay. There were flags that I questioned throughout the year that have been thrown, red flags. There was one that I thought should have been thrown today. We can get to that when the time is right. But to answer your question, yeah, absolutely. You make the coach aware when he wants to be made aware.
Those are hour two segments, just so you know. We're coming back to it. And also, just
you know what? That could have been a big yes, play. If we don't run away with this thing 20-3,
100%.
That non-questioning of what I thought was a first down by Myles Gaskin could have been a big play.
With a pylon angle to show you clearly that he
did in front of everybody. It's Monday Night Football. Everything is caught on camera.
To finish your previous point, I like how we were talking in the fourth quarter about how
points.
Let's get Waddle one more catch so he can break the Rice record. We knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do that. But we have seen John Harbaugh this year run the football in a game where they were in victory formation in that range to go victory formation and run the football to extend their 100-yard rushing streak. We saw Zach Taylor and the Bengals yesterday throw the football to get Burrow over 500 yards late in that game as well. So it does happen all the time.
It absolutely happens. I don't know if Coach Flores wants that kind of information or not, but I can guarantee you Ann Nolan knows,
yes.
Right? I mean, Ann Nolan was clearly knew Coach Flores from New England. I don't know the hiring practice and how Ann Nolan was chosen. She's doing a great job there. Coach obviously trusts her, so she's got to know whether Coach Flores wants information or not. And if he wants it, you can darn sure guarantee that Ann's going to make sure it gets to him.
Great stuff, guys. Hour two coming up here. Just in a minute, we're going to get to the game balls. We'll hear from Tua Tagovailoa and plenty more. Miami Dolphins fans, are you ready for game day? Well, with Cheez-It, you can choose your perfect game day snack made with 100% real cheese for a deliciously cheesy snack experience. So stock up on all your favorite flavors, and we'll see you back here at your favorite game. Again, the final score from New Orleans, 20-3. Miami wins it. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.